One of the more predictable stories of life in our region, along with rain in the winter and fires in the summer, is the occasional finding of marijuana growing in some place it's not supposed to be. Occasional probably understates it. We have seen many stories over the years of people finding pot patches growing out in the woods, often on federal land, before and since marijuana became legal for personal use in both Oregon and California. California is our focus in this next segment, specifically Yurok tribal lands on the North Coast. Pot patches got so common, the tribe set up Operation Yurok to eliminate them. And the operation's gone well enough that the tribe recently announced a pause in the operation. Frankie Joe Myers is our guest. He's a member of the Yurok tribe and the head of the Yurok Tribal Heritage Preservation Office. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Frankie Joe, how extensive had the grows gotten when the tribe started Operation Yurok?
It was pretty extensive, and I think the most shocking thing for the tribe was the rate at which the growth and the cannabis cultivation was expanding. There was a five-year period when it had just skyrocketed. It went from being a few mom-and-pop operations kind of in and around the reservation to full-scale, large cannabis cultivation in almost every single watershed. To give you an idea, I think we had 15 to 20, and that blew up to about 150 cultivations within about a four-year span.
Wow, so that is that rather rapid growth then. And then what kinds of effects were you seeing on tribal lands and just natural resources from the grows?
There were some immediate effects that the tribal membership and the tribe itself started noticing fairly quickly. A lot of our water systems and our streams in our area started going dry more and more frequently for longer and longer. It's not uncommon in our area for some streams to dry up during the end of summer. That's a pretty common occurrence. But when they started drying up much sooner, late spring, and it went from one or two streams drying up to almost all of them, individuals really started noticing. The other thing that had happened is the amount of complaints that we were getting from our membership about gates on roads that they have access for millennia, trail systems for their cultural sites being blocked or on several occasions, I think the most detrimental things is on several occasions our cult practitioners were out on their trails ceremony and had ran into armed individuals and that they were not allowed to pass. They weren't allowed to use their traditional trails or their traditional prayer sites. It was huge, and there were some long-term effects or some effects that took a little bit longer for us to figure out. One of them was the spike in increase in E. coli in our water systems. A year ago, our environmental program, our environmental program started testing all of the creeks along the reservation. Last year, I believe, of the samples that were taken, 98% came positive for biovin.
We're getting a little cell phone cut out here. 98% tested positive for what?
Fecal coliform.
Oh, yeah.
E. coli and fecal coliform, which was a pretty large spike. Our environmental program, regularly tests, and our fisheries program regularly tests the creeks around here. When they started getting hits, they started expanding their tests, and every time they expanded their tests, those continued to come back positive.
So what would the fecal coliform be coming from? I mean, is it because people are camping with their pot patches?
Absolutely. These are our watersheds are steep. They're mountainous. Their rain is difficult, and the individuals who are coming in, these were the law enforcement calls guerrilla grows. They were very large scale, but there were individuals, camping, roughing it out in the woods, and doing the full operation out there, the trimming and the whole thing, there would be times when there could be 30 to 40 individuals per location. And you times that, times the amount of cultivation sites that were out there, given the fact that none of them had or continue to have, most of them don't continue to have any sort of sanitation facilities, that, you know, although we cannot point directly back to a specific site, that is the general consensus of what was going on.
So does it seem to be, Frankie Joe, that the land was being targeted because it was Yurok land or just because it was open land?
I think it was open land. I mean, I think, the same kind of expansion that we saw in our area of the county, we were seeing in other parts of the county. I think, you know, our part of the county probably was the last to really kind of feel the pinch of the cannabis cultivation rush. As it was the reservation, you know, around here, the reservation doesn't really have a phenomenal reputation. So I think most folks stayed away from growing up here. Unfortunately, what I think did happen is because the land around here, the reservation, doesn't have a good reputation, the individuals who came to grow here were pretty unsavory. Not to say they all were, but I think the majority were.
We're talking about the growing of cannabis illegally on Yurok tribal land in Northern California with Frankie Joe Myers, who is a tribe member and the head of the Yurok Tribal Heritage Preservation Office. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments about what we're talking about here, 800-838-3760 to join in by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned that big upswell of activity with more grows and larger ones as the years went on. So Operation Yurok started in 2013, I understand. And what were the components of it? What were the plans? Who carried them out?
Well, the first thing that the tribe did was initiate a zero-tolerance ordinance. So tribal government has authorities for regulatory matters within the reservation. We enact those authorities under ordinances, which are very similar to laws. There are tribal laws. And so we acted a zero tolerance law that said no cannabis of any kind in any form for any reason. Because we enacted that law within our tribal territory, we were able to ask U.S. Army Reserve, the BIA, National Guard, Forest Service, the state parks, national parks to come and join this collaborative effort. We are headed by Yurok Public Safety and our police officers who helped organize this large-scale kind of eradication event, similar to the ones in the past. However, we're focusing these operations on the most egregious environmental impacts. At the start of the program, I think we had around 50 law enforcement agents or 50 law enforcement officers, various enforcement agencies within California and within the nation here converged on.
That is a lot of people to bring to bear on the issue, certainly. Did the people working on Operation Yurok come face-to-face at times? I have to believe they did, with people growing on tribal land?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They had several encounters throughout the years. Fortunately for us, there was never any incidents. We came close on a couple occasions. The idea was to come with an overwhelming force so that when we showed up on site, there was most of the times, almost all the time, you know, we show up with 50 well-trained officers, don't put up much of a fight. And that was kind of the idea behind it, that we can come in with a large enough force that we secure the area quickly and then about our business without any backboard.
Were the growers often armed when you would come upon them?
Some of them were. Most of them, you know, didn't make any actions towards, being sort of aggression. Weapons were also often found within the areas that we went to. A maybe on one or two occasions they were on their person, but prior to operations, there was helicopters, and it doesn't take very long around here for word to get out that Operation Yurok is starting when you're showing up with a caravan of 20, 25 SUVs running up and down the road. So I think individuals quite quickly learned when we were in town and started preparing for it after the first year they understood what was going on.
And so what was the first year the biggest one? I have to assume that if things had gotten as big as you indicate, with you had 150 different grows potentially going on, that the first couple of years were probably really busy.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. I think the first year was our biggest. The second year, I think individuals, cultivation folks maybe thought the first year was a spoof or, was a one-time deal. When we came back the second year, paid in the similar numbers as the first year, by the third and fourth years, dwindled off fairly quickly. And then towards the end, we had the passing of Humboldt County's cannabis cultivation land use ordinance, which allowed for the legalization of cultivation. So it dropped significantly after that.
We're talking to Frankie Joe Myers from the Yurok Tribe. He's the head of the Yurok Tribal Heritage Preservation Office, about Operation Yurok, which worked to eliminate large illegal marijuana grows on the Yurok Reservation and has been successful enough that now it's reaching a pause point and the operation is officially going to stand down. We'll talk about how long in just a moment, but you can join the conversation if you have questions or comments about the process that was gone through here or what was found. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You just mentioned, Frankie Joe, the Humboldt County land use marijuana ordinance. Which I presume then would make it easier to grow off the reservation land. Did the reservation zero tolerance ordinance stay in effect, though?
Oh, absolutely. The county adhered to the tribe's regulations for zero tolerance within reservation boundaries. And we really started to see a shift, and there was a shift in how we approached cannabis cultivation after they had passed their land use ordinance allowing for cannabis cultivation. That's when the Yurok Tribe created the Yurok Cannabis Task Force. Sole responsibility was to look at the regulatory framework that the county had put in place and how the tribe could participate and actively be engaged in that process for us to continue to protect our cultural and environmental resources. So we began to shift from an enforcement eradication effort, a regulatory review effort. Been doing so for the past year and a half. It has allowed for cannabis cultivation operations outside of the reservation boundaries to move along the process. However, there are many, many fewer cultivation sites to deal with, and in those cultivation sites, the tribe has been able to participate in the application process, and we are pushing further efforts for us to engage in those cultivations so they don't have an impact on our natural resources.
So does it appear that the reduction in grows was largely a result of Operation Yurok, or did Operation Yurok come to a conclusion sooner, I guess, because of the fact that you had more opportunities for people to grow marijuana legally?
I think one of the reasons, having talked to a lot of the law enforcement individuals who came up during Operation Yurok, I think there, a lot of the reason they were so much behind our efforts is because they saw our ancestral territory and our lands as an area where they were actually able to do a full eradication, an area where they could actually gain ground and hold ground on it. I think 100%. The decline in illegal cannabis cultivation was due to Operation Yurok. It's one of those, things, if this would have happened, if that would have happened, situations where, if Humboldt County wouldn't have passed their land use ordinance, I think that we probably would have went to zero illegal cannabis cultivation within our ancestral territory through Operation Yurok. However, because the county passed their their ordinance, you know, it did allow a few of those to continue on.
And what are some of the numbers? I haven't asked about the amount of marijuana that was seized over the years and people arrested and acreage that was put out of commission, that sort of thing.
Oh, there was, you know, thousands of plants arrested, you know, thousands of pounds confiscated. They, you know, to give you a sense, we the first year we immediately knew, you know, this was a much bigger problem than we ever realized when we started hauling out a dump truck loads full, 10-yard dump trucks full. We had our, you know, we had to call our watershed department in, our roads department in to actually haul out the illegal cannabis that was being cultivated. We did that for at least the first 3 years, but there was literally truckloads of illegal cannabis. And that's reduced greatly. Although even to this day, we are still feeling the effects of those illegal cannabis cultivation.
In what sense?
We did the eradication efforts. We got rid of the cannabis, the weed, the marijuana itself, and the individuals. However, there was hundreds of acres where these cultivation sites took place that were littered with garbage and pesticides and chemicals and all of the things that they had used to create the grows. They just left them there. Not only did they leave all of their supplies, their growing supplies, the individuals who were out, you know, during the illegal cannabis cultivation era, they didn't go to the dump. They didn't go to the refuge center. Their garbage stayed right with them. When they left, they did not pack up everything they had brought in and leave with it. They left everything out in the landscape. And so we're left struggling to find funds to clean up these grows. There was, you know, trailers and cars and garbage. You know, I couldn't even tell you how much garbage was out on the landscape from these grows.
So final seconds here. This is a pause, not the closing of the operation. Will Operation Urex sort of stay on the books until it's needed?
I think absolutely. We did our flyovers, which is our initiation of the Operation Yurok, and you know, we're going to stay vigilant to ensure that it doesn't come back. This is our land. It always has been, it always will be, and we'll always fight to protect.
All right. The success of Operation Yurok means that it goes on pause, goes into a bit of a hiatus now because it's been successful in eradicating illegal grows of marijuana, cannabis, on tribal reservation land for the Yurok tribe. Frankie Joe Myers is a tribe member and the head of the Yurok Tribal Historic Preservation Office. Thanks so much for joining us today, and congratulations on the success.
Well, club. Thank you.
All right. Take care.